You know, you want to fight? That's what you're going to get is a fight. You asked for it. You got it. It is Monday, January 27th, 2025. Just a few days left of January. Can you believe it? January was like the longest but quickest month. I don't know. It was like a very slow start. And then, of course, we had the inauguration. And now it is like everything's just going haywire. Hang on. You know what? Let me adjust something here. Let me see if I can. Adjust something. Test 1, 2. Huh. How about now, Doug? Can you hear me? Yeah, okay. All right. Hopefully, Eric the Tech, I'm not blowing you out of the studio there. Welcome everyone to tonight's show. Thank you so much for showing up. Thanks for joining me in the Rumble chat. I really appreciate it. So today, 1,179 arrests were made today by ICE, which is the most arrests in a single day in the second Trump administration. And you might not think that's a lot. It really, it is 853 detainers lodged. And I've got a lot to say on this because here's what I'm thinking. And folks in the chat, please interact with me. All right. Don't argue amongst yourselves. Interact with me if you can. Because it's going to be all just me and you folks and Eric the Tech. But I want to get your feeling about something. We've been lied to, haven't we? And I think Jack Posobiec or somebody in here. Yeah, Peachy Keenan. The author, Peachy Keenan. Love that name. Was with Jack. And we've been lied to about the actual numbers of illegals in this country. Now, 1,179 arrested, 853 detainers lodged. But I have a feeling we have a heck of a lot more self-deporting. Because if you get caught, and here's the reason for that. Hopefully most of you know this. And if not, let me help you. I'll tell you. If you leave the country willingly, go back to Mexico or wherever, and you don't get caught, you can come back through legally and lawfully. Now, if for whatever reason you get picked up, arrested, or on a detainer, you're barred for 20 years. Okay. So the most rational people, when you look at this, the people who are here really, truly to make a better life for themselves are going to self-deport so they can come back within a reasonable period of time, as opposed to being barred from the country for 20 years. And I think the big story here is that we don't have 10, 20, 30 million illegals in this country. In a country of 360, 370 million, we probably have 50 to 60 million illegals in this country. Folks, do you agree with me in the chat? It's just an incredible number, more than one would expect. Now, those numbers, by the way, of self-deportation are not added to anything. That's just, although ICE, Border Patrol, they know somewhat of those numbers based on surveillance. They don't include them with anything. But I think what we're going to see is raids or enforcement actions on businesses, farms, construction sites, and schools before we see large numbers, including especially deportations. Now, this is a huge story. I really believe it's a huge story. Another story I want to touch upon, and I think this is extremely important, is there's something going on with AI. Have you noticed this with Chinese AI, with the push for AI? I'm researching the living daylights out of this. As a matter of fact, I've contacted a couple of people to research. It's just in my research because I don't really, do you really understand the entirety, the concept of AI? Now, when you get old like me, okay, you know, you have to have the phones with the big numbers on them, right? I'm kidding. But you get the idea. A lot of this is really over my head. And many people, I think, it's over our heads collectively. And unlike, of course, the administration, we don't have people that would, people that are really in tune with this. And I was talking with Jay Mez yesterday, and let me tell you something. Jay Mez, some people think he's a figment. I want him on the show consistently because he understands AI. He understands this, what's really taking place with AI and the dangers it poses. He understands, and Eric the Tech, Eric the Tech, who knows a lot about a lot, knows about digital currency. Now, there is somehow, and again, I'm asking you in the chat, and asking you who can dialogue with me, communicate with me. Did you see where there appears to be the relationship between AI and our economy and the stock market and investments and all of that? This is a big deal. And I don't want to speak out of turn on this. Leo Holman, who I'm waiting to hear back from, Leo Holman has been on this program many times in the past, and he's written about AI. I trust the man, and he points out a lot of different areas of AI that are dangerous, and although they could serve, if done properly, who's going to do it properly, right? So I want to get him on, but I'm just telling you right now, the AI story is a huge story. So between Jay Mez and Leo Holman and others, we are going to be talking about this. But tonight, a couple of very important things. There's a war taking place at our southern border. You want to know, I mean, things that affect you directly, this is one that will affect you directly. I do believe the way I structured tonight's show is talking about the illegals in this country, what's going on at the border, the enforcement, but the blowback, potential blowback. And I do believe that from our actions, we are going to see a blowback. And I believe that our exposure, the exposure caused by that potato head, by that, by Biden and McKneepads, and all of the people around, including and especially Mayorkas, has put us in a position of extreme vulnerability. So I just want to really, really drive this point home because there was a firefight at the southern border. Did you know that? Eric the Tech, I got to ask you, because you're up on all this. Did you see that there was a shooting back and forth between the cartel members and Border Patrol? Did you see that? Not yet, but they shot back. But I'll tell you something. I have it on fairly decent authority that that's probably going to be the least response that they're going to give. Okay, you've got military down at the border putting up concertina wire. You've got military building the wall. You've got military tanks. When I say tanks, I don't mean tanks. Armored vehicles. I'm sorry. You do have armed, about 1,500 armed military personnel. Now, for a border that is 1,969 miles wide, or long, I should say, in the south, that's not a lot of troops. I believe you're going to see that rise. And again, I was lucky enough on Saturday to have a conversation with somebody who's embedded down with Tom Homan and others. So I'm going to leave it there. I'm not going to name drop, but what's taking place there needs to be really shown. And I intend to do that here momentarily. The Department of Justice, they've come out, and again, I don't know how many people have seen this. They officially admit Hunter Biden was bribed by a criminal Romanian oligarch to influence U.S. policy through Joe Biden. Now, I don't know how many people remember. I had a radio show in the morning for an hour. I just had to give it up. And I'd like to get that. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think I should do an hour in the morning on radio? So I'll tell you what, chat. Boy, I'm relying on you guys a lot today, huh? Let me see. Chat, you tell me. Should I start one up, or should I just keep my mouth shut and mind my own business? What do you think? Yes for a radio show. No for just shut up and eat your oatmeal. Let me see here. I'm about 10 seconds shy on the chat, so. Start it up. Yes, okay. Nah, sleep in. Now there's somebody I like. Okay. I'm not a Trump, but I love Doug. Yeah, thanks. Look, you don't have to be 100% for Trump, or even 50% for President Trump in terms of liking the man. It's the policies that speak to me. My voice needs to be heard. Sometimes it doesn't come out right. Okay. All right. Thank you. I'm going to work on that. Eric Tatek, can we work on that? What do you think? Yeah.
We can remember that.
What's that?
We can do anything.
We can do anything. I'll tell you what, with Eric the Tech, we can do anything in terms of the show. And through God, we can do anything. All right. A couple of things. I want to start this out because what we're facing right now, and we all know this, we're fighting a satanic cabal. I first learned about this satanic cabal in the mid-1980s. And then, of course, the FBI came out and said, nothing, it's nothing to see here, satanic panic. You know, remember that? Remember that? No, let me tell you something. As I expect my third book to be out real soon, I'm telling you, you're going to see, my books are based on true accounts, things that actually happened. The third book, and this relates to what I'm going to show you here. That was my introduction into the real satanic. The third one goes far into the satanic, far into the MK Ultra, far into the CIA operations. Okay, and then the fourth book will bring us to the present. I mean, we'll be in the present, and that will feature my work, our work with Russ Dizdar, Shatterhoffs, and such. The fourth book is over here. Give me time on that one. The third one is getting polished up. The fourth one is going to be a good one. So anyway, they're all good, actually. And I just got a new shipment in of both Stained by Blood, which is the second reformatted, re-released printed edition. We have to work with Amazon to get them to merge. I didn't change many words. I mean, less than 10% of words. I had to restructure some things, but the first Stained by Blood, the first printing, and this printing, they've got to merge together. Otherwise, I've got a book out there sitting that it's like no one ever heard of. So we're trying to do that. But so I got a new shipment in. I think I only have 20 of them. Getting those are for some reason, something's going on with Amazon, because I am ordering author copies, and it's a pain in the behind with the publish. I just, you know what? Never mind. But the fact is, I have some, I think I have 18 Stained by Blood new reformatted editions at Hagman or Douglas at the Hagman store, and 50 in the Dark of Night, if you care. Nothing like wasting time on a Monday evening. All right. The satanic part of this. This is cut 8. And this is Tucker Carlson talking about the cartels, talking about the fact that there is satanic ritual abuse of the captives. I'm telling you, this is the most understated part of all of this. Please, folks, understand how bad this is. There are, and I have the honor to speak with people down at the border. They see the ritualistic symbols and signs, now some of it is, of course, regional, like Santeria. Which is not what we're talking about. Okay, this I'm talking about full-blown Satanism. But this is cut 8 in the show notes. And by the way, folks, for those new here, just go to HagmanPI.com, click on the link of today's, the title of today's episode, and you'll see all of the links that I use. It's all properly cited, and you can, if it's just a part of a clip we use, you can watch the entire thing. I put the entire thing there. So this is cut 8, but understand where we're coming from first as a foundation for this part of the show. Here's cut 8.
I mean, I know that in El Salvador, when MS-13 ran the country before Bukele, there was a religious component of kind of voodoo witchcraft component to MS-13, where they were worshiping the devil. I mean, openly. It's a component of the cartels. You see it in Mexico as well, all through Latin America. Is that, have you come across that?
Yeah. Yeah, they worship death. And
like formally worship it, though.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to call them religious. Some places that, even the Texas DPS have found some of these places where the cartels were operating. They got, you know, statues there and memorabilia worshiping death as a consequence of not allowing them to do their business.
Right. And these are from cultures that have practiced human sacrifice for thousands of years.
I got a video on my phone showing a member of the cartel skinning a man alive, skinning him alive on video to send a message to anybody. If you push back on the cartels, if you snitch on the cartels, they're not going to just kill you. They're going to make you suffer immensely. I got sent this video by some intelligence community, and you know, I'm a pretty tough guy, but I can't watch all of it.
No, of course not.
When they skin somebody alive and the pain that man went through, this is what they do. That's why MS-13, they don't just shoot somebody. They hack them up. Me and President Trump, remember when we did Operation Matador in Long Island? We arrested just short of 500 gang members and a lot of MS-13. And during the press conference, President Trump referred to these people as animals. And, of course, Nancy Pelosi, the rest of people went nuts. These are people you refer to as animals.
She's an animal,
yeah.
Actually.
Then they came to me and I said, I don't know what President Trump has against animals, but animals kill to survive. MS-13 kills for pleasure. They're much worse than animals.
There it is. From the man himself. And when he says that, he means that. Okay. He's had that video on his phone for a number of years, let me tell you. And it's pretty gruesome and sickening in the fact that he kept it to remind himself of what he is fighting is a testament, I believe, to that man. I love that guy. I really do. A couple of questions real quick before I move on. Mega Made One, who do you want me to have on? I just put it in the chat. We'll grab it. Eric will grab it. Somebody will grab it. Get them on the show, Doug. Who's they? And to the people asking, you can go to the Hagman store right now. I after tonight's show, I'll make sure that there's 18, the proper number in inventory are up, and then you can order signed copies and be very specific in terms of what you want me to write in the book. And I'll make sure you get I'll make sure it goes out right away. Okay. So, yes, Mega Maid, tell me who you want to have on. Okay. All right. I'll keep watching for the... Oh, Michael Yon. No, that's somebody else. Michael will come on. And he's really big against the NGOs down there. IOM or OIM, depending on what language you speak, really going after that. Obviously not a big fan of President Trump. But you know what? He doesn't have to be. Report the facts. And politics is secondary to all of this. All right. Well, in a sense, it's not, though, because of the political divide that we saw with Biden and President Trump. All right. So remember I said the Border Patrol was fired upon today. This changes everything now. This is cut 7. It's a minute 30. Border Patrol agents fired on by suspected cartel members at the border during a human smuggling operation. Number one, they're not suspected. They are cartel members. Number two, they did fire upon our Border Patrol agents, and the agents fired back. No indications of casualties, fatalities, or anyone hurt. But the response, prepare for the response, I'm telling you. And again, I have this on good authority. This is cut number 7, and it's a minute 39. Here it is.
Just across the river, yards from U.S. soil, cartel gunmen stroll along the riverbank, armed with rifles. They control the border in Mexico. Some aim AK-47s at Texas DPS helicopters. Others go to war with each other, with Texas DPS thermal drone video showing cartels throwing explosives at each other during a battle for control of the area.
All the activity that's been happening, all the violence that's been taking place right across the river within several hundred yards from where we're at right now.
Texas DPS's Lieutenant Chris Olivares tells Fox in October, Texas had enough. The state declared Fronten Island Texas property and began bulldozing it. All of it. Brush was cleared. Razor wire was deployed, and the area was fortified. This is what it looks like now, a 171-acre barren landscape now secured by Texas, with Texas troopers on patrol and Texas National Guard soldiers deployed with loaded weapons. This is one of the cartel buildings directly across the river from us in Mexico. You can see cartel graffiti on it as well as bullet holes riddling it. Here on the U.S. side of the river, you can see what Texas has done with Fronten Island. They have completely cleared it out. They've deployed razor wire, and there is now nowhere for these cartel gunmen to hide if they want to cross here illegally.
These cartel operatives have no fear of the federal government because they know there's no consequences, and the fact that they have allowed the Mexican drug cartels to gain operational control of the border. That's why the state of Texas is stepping in, so we can regain operational control.
In Fronten, Texas, Bill Malugin, Fox News.
Now, one thing that people need to know, when they were clearing Fronten Island out, and I mean, it was a big job. I think it took them like, what, a year, 14 months to clear that out. They found a lot of bad things there. They found ammunition. They found women's clothing, little girls, little boys' clothing, bloodied, ripped. I'm telling you, this will come out. It hasn't yet, but I do suspect this will come out to show you the depravity. And this is on U.S. soil. Front Island is U.S. So folks understand how bad things were with respect to the Biden regime. And who's behind Biden? Obviously Obama. But I also have other people here. I've taken, I've outlined some notes. You can see people like Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi, people from California specifically, and then you have New Mexico and other border states, even Texas, where they're on the payroll of the cartels. That's coming. But continuing along this line, let's go to this one right here. Remember when this is a minute and a half. Remember when I spoke about us being lied to about the number of illegals in this country? And Jack Posobiec has a very interesting poll out. I asked him, you know, what the numbers were. Aside from you can see on this poll at Human Events Daily, if that poll that he took, if it was the majority, you know, if we've been lied to, and if there were more illegals in this country, and of course the overwhelming vote was yes, and we're talking like 98% yes, just to give you a spoiler there, so you don't have to look into that. But here it is right now. This is cut. Five. This is Pozo. I believe this is the one with Peachy Keenan. And this is a minute 40. And here it is, cut five. Have we been lied to about the actual numbers of illegals in this country? Cut five.
At, they were saying that that the kitchen staff didn't show up. So they were short-staffed. And even some of the wait staff didn't show up. And it's all gotten me to thinking, and when we put this out as our question of the day, it's 1776@humanevents.com, 1776@humanevents.com. Have you experienced anything like this? And if this is true, is it possible that they've been lying to us about the exact number of illegals in this country? And so before we get to some of these emails that have come in, because it's been flooded, I wanted to get your thoughts on that, Peachy.
Yeah, my husband and I have been saying for a few years that there's way more people here than they think. I mean, I think LA County, LA City is about 50% Hispanic. I think the white population of LA is down to something like 25%. So, I mean, at least in terms of Los Angeles, legal or illegal, the great replacement, not only is it real, but like it's over, you know. But my husband has a long commute, so he drives all around the city through downtown, and he would come home and say, you know, just around MacArthur Park, Echo Park, downtown LA, there's just dozens, crowds on every corner of these, like, you know, brand new, you know, South American immigrants. And they have huge tables where they're selling all of the goods that were looted from CVS, you know, all the shampoo and the makeup, that's all shaving cream, that's all for sale at these little illegal tables. And there are, in the last year, taco stands, like pop-up street taco stands on literally every corner, up here in the San Gabriel Valley, all over LA. And these are unlicensed. I mean, you remember they were arresting kids who would start like a lemonade stand, right? So these are now happening with no license everywhere. So if you can believe your lying eyes, it is way more than they're reporting.
And there it is. Before I go further, 21B, thank you so very, 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 very much from the bottom of my heart for being a monthly supporter. Also, MSM Lies, I will reach out and attempt to get Christy on. And Curly 64, interesting you bring up JJ Carroll. I reached out to him today with respect to on a totally separate matter, and I expect to hear from him tomorrow. So we'll book him, JJ Carroll, on for the show. Thank you, Curly 64, MSM Lies, and 21B for both the support and the information. All right. So there it is. Folks, do you think, and again, this is my question, do you think that the number has been understated and we're looking at 50, you know, 50 million, 30, 40 million? And if that is the case, between the self-deportation, the arrests, and the detainers, is that going to have a negative effect? And I'm asking this question. Is this going to have a negative effect on the economy or a positive, net positive effect on the economy? When you take that many people, when you're looking at what would that be mathematically? About 1/7 of the population of America in a perfect world leaving, what would that do to our economy? I really, when I look at this, at first you think, man, that's going to really be a bad thing. But I don't know. I'm looking at a net positive here. I don't know what you think in the chat. Positive effect, hope, faith, love, truth. Absolutely. Okay. TTLW13, non-negative. Yeah. Okay. Okay. And most people, Red River Patriot, thank you. Yeah, I think most people are I believe it's the numbers are understated, and it's going to be just an incredible number of people that are going to be leaving. Now we're getting into some dicey stuff here. You've heard all, I'm sure everyone listening has heard about the Federal Supremacy Clause, right? In other words, hey, we're the federal government in matters of national security. In this particular case, even though you might be a governor, you might be a mayor, you might be a school board, school director, whatever. It doesn't matter. We, as the federal, again, according to the Federal Supremacy Clause, we take precedence over whatever you might desire. People like Pritzker and Johnson in Chicago and Pritzker in Illinois, they might be well advised to kind of rethink their strategy. There's a couple of clips about this to lay this out on the Federal Supremacy Clause. This is really important. Now, yesterday, which was a Sunday, I don't know how many people saw this, but you had Tom Homan out there in his bug out gear. Kind of remind me of Eric the Tech, the way he looks like, you know, when he goes on a mission. And he was with Dr. Phil. He was with Ben Berquam. And they were out busting people. But here he is talking about the Federal Supremacy Clause. So at least we have a foundation of understanding of what this means. This is cut to from the show notes, Tom Homan on using the Federal Supremacy Clause. It's 2 minutes long, but extremely vital that everyone understands this. Here's cut two.
Wonder where they go, who picks them up. This is who picks them up. This is who lures them out on the internet. And they disappear, or they get raped, and their life's changed forever. And he shouldn't even be here, but he's doing this. But they don't raise their hand and say, hey, there's somebody that doesn't even have the right to be here that's preying upon our children, and they don't tell you about it.
Exactly. And this Governor Pritzker, and the mayor, they want to vilify the men running ICE. ICE saved children today. ICE saved children today. And it makes me angry. Governor Pritzker the other day went on the internet, social media, saying ICE was attacking our elementary school. He's scaring children. He's scaring the neighborhood, putting fear in the community. We're doing the exact opposite. We're saving children. Every sexual predator we arrest means more safe children. So God bless men with ICE. If you've seen today, we're not sweeping neighborhoods. This is a target enforcement operation. We spend a lot of time investigating these people. We know exactly who we're looking for. So it's a target enforcement operation. It's the right thing to do.
Well, let's talk about how methodical this was, because you guys had this man, this monster on the list, and they've been sitting on this guy for 2 or 3 days to try to get where he was and his pattern, and you were actually able to ping his cell phone and get him on the move so he could be picked up on the street rather than in, if he got to his dwelling, wherever that is, and got behind a closed door, then he could have sat there and you didn't have the right to go in and get him if he sits behind that door, right?
Not without a criminal arrest warrant, but that's exactly the point. He could have been arrested at a county jail, in the safety and security of the county jail, by one officer.
Right.
But we spent hundreds of hours to investigate him, try to find out where he is, and we did find him. It takes a whole team for officer safety to arrest him.
Right.
It's not efficient. We could arrest many more criminals if you let us in the jail. It's a lot harder to find these guys out in the public. These guys don't want to be found. They're in the wind. It takes a lot of investigative work to find them. Let us in the jail. Don't let them hit the street. It saves officers time. It's safer for the community. It's safer for the alien. It's safer for the officer. But spending hundreds of hours of investigation to find this guy when we could have got him in 5 minutes at the Cook County Jail.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me tell you this. The model for what we're seeing today began in 2008 in earnest. It began in 2008. In other words, you have county jails, state prisons, and federal prisons that are not cooperating with ICE and actually letting people out the door, out the back door, out the front door, whatever. And have been now, especially in the 2 weeks prior to the inauguration, a lot of bad people were let out of federal, state, and even county prisons. Okay, please understand what I'm saying because this is so important. This is a process that began in 2008 under Obama. And continued even during President Trump's administration, his first administration, that process continued. But to be honest, I mean, looking at this, I don't think President Trump and I don't think his DHS staff and DNI staff had the understanding of what was going on in the background. So. What President Trump has done in bringing Tom Homan on in those 75 days between Election Day and Inauguration Day, they were planning, Mr. Homan, and I do say Mr. Homan, believe me, they were planning on how they were going to approach this massive undertaking. And by the way, somebody in chat had said, hey, you know, it'd be great if you can get Tom Homan on. I was able to speak with, and this is probably 2-3 weeks ago, an assistant for Mr. Homan, who said basically, you know, he's going to be in the field or doing just about everything he possibly can every day. So his interviews are going to be extremely limited. Now I know he's got my business card and I know he knows who I am. Probably remembers me, but, because we actually had a good time, laughed about, cause I told him, I said, man, you know, I'll confess anything you want, Mr. Homan, you know, at the moment, because you're that intimidating. But the fact of the matter is this. We're not going to, I can't see other than maybe a Tucker Carlson or somebody at that level bringing him on. And I certainly wouldn't ask him because of his important work that he's doing. But here is what has been happening. Ben Berkwam has been talking about this. And as he's embedded with Tom Homan and his group and ICE, he's seeing how the left, not just the Democrats, but the globalists in the left, how they are refusing to allow both Tom Homan in his position and ICE into prisons to round up illegal criminal aliens. What you heard him say there was it could have taken one ICE agent or two, as customary, to transport a prisoner from prison to the roundup area where they send them off in flights. And now they're spending tens and hundreds of man hours to locate the people that they let go at the direction of Biden, Mayorkas, and ultimately Obama. So what Mayorkas, Obama, Biden, Harris, all these people, what they have planned to do was set Donald Trump up for failure. What they weren't counting on is how much of a greater understanding President Trump has now about the problem. And you may think I'm spending a lot of time on illegals. Well, that's by design in this case, because there's a lot of money between the slave labor, the child and human sex trafficking, and the drugs and other illicit activities. There is a lot of money changing hands. It's like a cottage industry. It's even bigger than that. I would suspect it rivals Walmart in terms of the commerce, whether it's flesh, I mean humans, or whether it's drugs, or whether it is, no matter what it is. But I do suspect it rivals, if not buries Walmart in terms of the amount of money being made and the amount of money changing hands. In fact, it's probably up there with Ukraine and our own Congress people. But here's cut one. The Democrats, the left, the globalists in the U.S. are refusing to allow Tom Homan and ICE into the prisons. And this is shameful and sinful. Here's cut one.
This week and began our conversation by asking him about the role of the U.S. military.
We got military on the border, not only helping us with the departure flights on military planes, but they're helping to build infrastructure. They're putting up Constantino wire. They're down there to create a secure border and lock that border down. And DOD's helped administrations before, but not at this level. So it's a force multiplier, and it's sending a strong signal to the world. Our border's closed.
You know that this creates fear in the immigration, in the immigrant community. The chair of the U.S. Conference of Bishops Committee said turning places of care, healing, and solace into places of fear and uncertainty for those in need while endangering the trust between pastors, providers, educators, and the people they serve will not make our community safer.
Well, look, here's I think. If Congress has a job to do. We're enforcing the laws Congress enacted and the president signed. If they don't like it, change the law. I find it hard to believe any member of Congress is telling us not to enforce the law that they enacted and they fund us to do.
But opening up to anyone who's in the country illegally and going into schools and grabbing them, does that... Kids, adults?
The message needs to be clear. There's consequences for entering a country illegally. If we don't show those consequences, you're never going to fix the border.
Deport all of those people.
Well, I'll leave it up to Congress. You know, I think Congress, the president has a mandate. This is the number one issue that people voted on. I think Congress has a mandate to give us money we need. What price do you put on national security? What price do you put on all these young ladies that have been raped and murdered and burned alive? What price do you put on that? What price do you put on Lincoln Riley's life? What price do you put on national security? Like I just explained, when you have a surge like this, we don't secure that border. That's when national security threats enter the country. That's when sex trafficking goes up. That's when, you know, that's when the fentanyl comes in and kills 250,000 Americans. I don't put a price on that.
I want to go back to those military flights going south. We, as you said, we have never seen that before. Is that going to be a constant commitment from the U.S. military every single day
yes.
to take deportees out?
Yes.
So is this what we will see every single day, ending in what the president has promised is millions and millions being deported?
Yes. But you can see the numbers steadily increase, the number of arrests nationwide as we open up the aperture. Right now it's concentrating public safety threats, national security threats. That's a smaller population. So we're going to do this on priority basis, as President Trump's promised, but as that aperture opens, there'll be more arrests nationwide.
When you talk about the aperture opening, the estimates of perhaps those who have been convicted or arrested in the past, 700,000 to over a million. So after you do that, then you go after everybody who is there illegally.
If you're in the country illegally, you're on the table, because it's not okay to, you know, violate laws of this country. You got to remember, every time you enter this country illegally, you violate a crime under Title 8, United States Code 1325. It's a crime. So if you're in the country legally, you got a problem. And that's why I'm hoping those who are in the country illegally who have not been ordered removed by the federal judge should leave.
You know, in his office, he's got a stuffed animal that, I don't know if that's public information, but that means an awful lot to him, and it reflects his dedication to saving the young people, to saving the children who have gone missing. And I'm telling you right now that that man's a great man. Sam Mirajovsky was on. You probably maybe have never heard of this man before. I do suggest you look him up. This is part of a longer interview. ICE raids are continuing across the country. I want to throw this one. I want to put this clip in here too, to give you kind of a round, a full picture of how this is being, how everything is being handled from this push against the illegals in this country. I want to say this too. I don't know how many people remember the old Dick Van Dyke show back in the, what was it, the 60s, I guess. And there was one episode where they inadvertently hired they hired a housekeeper and then found out that she was in this country illegally. And that back then is when you had people working for the government that would actually knock on the door and actually physically remove them from household service and send them back to the country of origin. And I remember on the replays, the beginning of how people reacted to that. And then when you had Johnson and others, Lyndon Johnson and others involved in the civil rights movement and incorporating a lot of the civil rights and the illegals in this country, the attitude began to change. I bring that up in preparation of this short clip about the ICE raids. This is 2 minutes, but it gives you a round, it gives you a kind of a full picture, I believe, as to what is taking place. Not what the left is saying is taking place, but what is taking place. This is cut four. ICE raids continue across the country. And I will add this before this goes on. The preparation that has gone on again to make this happen as quickly and efficiently. You're going to see these numbers every day. And maybe what we should do, Eric the Tech, what we could do is every day put up a placard of arrests and deportations and detainers. I think that'd probably be a good idea. I'll supply that, you know, for show prep. But to show you how the numbers
start chiseling it now.
Start. We may. I'll tell you what. I would.
Congratulations.
I would be in favor of just simply a whiteboard with with markers. I'm telling you, it's going to change so rapidly. But here's cut, what did I say it was? Cut four. Again, this gives you a roundabout way. And then, by the way, I noticed a comment in on Rumble about somebody saying, you know, he takes too long in identifying what he's going to play, meaning me. But frankly, that gives Eric the Tech time enough, because we don't have a studio full of people like InfoWars and other, we got me, we have Eric, and I'm going to tell you something. To call up these clips, it's a big deal sometimes, even with the with the software that we do have. So understand, I'm not stalling deliberately. I'm giving him a chance to call up the clips. But this is cut four.
Well, walk us through, if you would, please, the legality of these raids. We're hearing countless stories from migrant communities that they are in hiding, but the Department of Homeland Security is now instructing agents to enter, quote, sensitive areas like schools or churches to carry out arrests. Some states like California are trying to pass legislation to block these new policies. Explain for us these new changes to the laws.
Right. Well, the changes, look, I mean, California, Illinois, that's another state that is a sanctuary state. They can pass all the laws that they want. But of course, the federal government is a sovereign. So the federal government and federal law trumps state law. So it's really an interesting, you know, it's an interesting quandary for local officials. They either are stuck between violating federal law and disobeying the ICE agents, or they're in a position where perhaps they can get prosecuted, you know, under California law. But none of this stops Trump's agenda in the least.
Absolutely. So let's play a hypothetical here, right? Let's say that an illegal immigrant has representation. I mean, I've been seeing all these videos of people that are being deported saying that they have a right to stay here, that they're coming back to the United States. Do they have any rights to stay in the U.S. like some of them claim?
So one of the things I'm so fascinated by is how quickly this is moving, because, you know, the Homan is able to put these people on planes and they're gone. They're out of here. What I suspect they're doing is they're moving for expedited removal, which is something that the federal government can do. In the past, there just hasn't been political will for this. But I think right now, you know, Trump and the administration just don't care. They're going to move ahead with this. And there are certain situations where that's absolutely appropriate. And for example, prior criminal convictions. So you can remove an illegal alien very quickly and with far less oversight in the courts, you know, if you just get them out the door, you know, if they've got a criminal record and you're able to show that to them. You know, they also might be just getting a waiver from some of these folks, right? If they're quick enough and aggressive enough, you know, they'll come in, they'll you know, scoop them up, they'll read them their rights, they'll do everything by the book. But at the end of the day, they give them a choice. You know, you want to languish in a cell in a detention center, or you want to get on a plane and fly back.
And that's the approach that's working. It's interesting to me where you could have the worst criminal, MS-13, whatever gang you can think of, be in a house right now. This is how it's being approached. There are no criminal warrants at the moment being issued. These are all less than criminal warrants. Name escapes me. I apologize. But so you could have the worst of the worst in a house, and ICE knows they're in a house. They could be watching TV. And if they won't come outside, there's nothing that ICE can do about that. Well, at least not. I mean, believe me, if it's a really bad person, okay, they will, through surveillance and other means. I'm not going to talk further on that, but believe me, they do. They know where these people are in large part. And by the way, to think, and this is coming up here, and I will add this at the end of this hour. We'll end the illegal discussion and move into discussion about Obama and some other people, naming some names and getting into some really deep things, including directed energy weapons, whether it's Maui or Los Angeles. Oh, yes, believe me, it is. There's a lot of information out there. Okay. This one, it's a minute. Oh, wait. Huh. Eric Detect, did I confuse you on video 3? I did, didn't I? Well, actually, okay, never mind. This is cut 3. We'll just go with this. This is
now
cut.
I'm confused.
Yeah. Did you see what I did there? I failed to provide you with a specific link. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This is perhaps the most important, one of the most important videos of Cut 3 that you're going to see. Brandon Judd, who's very knowledgeable about the people in this country, the bad people. I'm talking about the military-aged men, the soldiers in this country, destined, determined to do us harm. Folks, pay attention to this, because he says it's going to be bad when we learn why there are so many illegal Chinese military-age men in the U.S. This was captured by MJ Truth on their Rumble channel. It's cited at HagmanPI.com. This is a minute 40 seconds, but extremely important to kind of begin to wrap things up on this topic. Here it is.
So how do they get out of China?
Oh, the cartels facilitate all of that.
They smuggle them out of China?
They do. The smugglers are the ones who set up all the travel. It's once you get to the countries where you don't have the visas, once you get here, that's when they're making it in illegally. But most of their travel is legal travel until they get here.
When they're in China, they don't have the money. Mm-hmm. Do they get that from the cartel?
They do. The cartels, they facilitate all of that travel.
So they get them the money. Mm-hmm. So they're in debt to the cartel.
They are.
And then they pay the cartel back how?
Once they get here, they go into the different industries, whether that's the food industry. There's sweatshops in New York City. It's the sex industry as well. But they're forced to pay that money back, and they've got to pay that money back.
And how about the military-aged Chinese men?
We don't know what their purpose is here in the United States, but it's going to be bad.
Are some of them being sent here by China?
We believe so.
And they're spying when they get here?
Whether they're spying, whether they're coming here and just laying in wait for some other purpose, we just don't know. That intelligence just hasn't been developed yet.
Does anybody monitor them? Does anybody follow them?
No.
We don't know where they are.
That's correct. When these people are released, we lose complete contact with them unless they show up to their court appearances. The moment they're released, they disappear into what President Obama termed the shadows of society.
So nobody follows them? Nobody monitors them? Nobody...
We give them dates that they're supposed to show up, but the vast majority will not.
So we have no idea what they're doing?
None.
Or where they are?
None. Zero.
Just imagine that. And that, again, that is the workings of Obama at the handler level with Biden, with Mayorkas, and others. Okay? I mean, understand, this is all by design, to take down the U.S. as a representative republic. Folks, it is bad. That one clip really sums it all up. Because you not only have the Chinese, you have paramilitary and gang organizations from other countries. Some work together, some don't. John Moore talks about, of course, the Muslim component to all of this. I'm telling you right now, folks, it is going to get bad. You're listening to the Hagman Report on this 27th day of June or January. Boy, I wish it was June. January 2025. And I want to thank everyone in the chat. Thank you so very much for sticking with me, for sticking with us, for being part of the chat. You have no idea how much that really means to me, that we can, I can watch, I can see what's going on with what you're thinking about. And I appreciate that. And a lot of great suggestions already. And thank you for being part of that from the bottom of my heart. And please, folks, tell other people, about this program, if you so desire. And to those listening or watching on X, thank you so very much for being part of it as well. Folks, again, we really want to be able to make a difference responsibly in the new media as it is. And I certainly hope, and I know Eric the Tech does, we had a kind of a brief meeting this weekend that we're doing just that. Now, a couple of other things. But by the way, Jim Acosta, like you really care, is out at CNN. Of course, they put him to a very undesirable time CNN, and he just decided to take a walk, so to speak. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about this as well. I want to give you a heads up on this. Glenn Beck did a great job of explaining why Communist China's, you're going to be hearing more about this, DeepSeek AI. Have you heard about this in chat? Is extraordinarily dangerous. This is, to me, when I look at this, and as it was explained to me, when I saw this, now things are becoming a lot clearer about the role that AI will play in the larger war, and the war between good and evil. It's something that you're going to have to keep your eyes out on, keep your eyes on, because this is, and we'll go deep into this. It's extremely important. And yes, I haven't forgotten about the Smith-Mundt Act either. Okay, so don't worry about that. That's coming up as well. Not today, but more in depth. Now, a couple of things happened in the intelligence community that you've got to really, and I think people need to appreciate what President Trump and the people around him have done to the intelligence community. When I saw this, and I thought about this in the quiet with Lady the Studio Dog, I bounced some ideas off of her, and she agreed. This, what's taking place with the intelligence community under President Trump, is what President Kennedy wanted to do, I believe. But when you're in the position of President Trump, he's out of F's to give, okay? He has no problem rearranging the intelligence community. Ratcliffe, watch that. Now, look, I get the fact that Ratcliffe was part of the first Trump administration. I get that fact. The terrain, if that... I guess that's a word, a terrain. I don't know if that's a good descriptor, but the terrain of the intelligence community has changed dramatically. All right. There's that. There's the DEW weapons, directed energy weapons. There's the COVID virus origination, which Ratcliffe was a part of. There's a new probe, investigative probe into Biden, into specifically into U.S. Attorney Matthew Graves' unlawful use of 15C2, the obstruction charges. There's some things happening in the state of New York with respect to involuntary tossing people into camps, into re-education camps, mental camps. I don't know whether people saw this. But before we get into that, oh, and then there's some other information about Barry Satoro, about Barack Obama, who, by the way, my wife and I were talking about this weekend. She said, do you think he's having an affair with Jennifer Aniston? And I said, no. He likes that. He likes to lay the pipe as opposed to, you know, right? I mean, do you agree with me on that? Eric the Tech, what do you think about that?
You mean receive the pipe.
Receive the pipe. Yeah.
Like a potato gun.
Potato. Man. Oh, and the gerbils yell. Okay. They squeal, I guess. Let's dispense with the intelligence community. Let's do it this way. In the interest of time, there was a 6-minute, 17-second interview with between Maria Bartiromo and director incoming director, John Ratcliffe. Oh, and I should add this. This week, it's going to be RFK Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, and Cash Patel. You know who I think is probably maybe most in danger? Tulsi. Did I say Tulsi Gabbard? Is that who I meant? Or is it Kristi Noem? The DNI is perhaps the one that might not make it, but I'll get my head together in a second. But John Ratcliffe was talking about the coronavirus. And, of course, as director of the CIA, he's got the ability to declassify documents and to put it out in the public. Out of the 6 minute and 17 second interview, there's a minute 46 that he talks about this one issue. Now, I would urge you to watch the entire interview, because the other four and a half minutes is extremely important. But this, I think, strikes at the heart of the deception that will be uncovered in this second President Trump administration. And don't forget, the JFK files, I think they gave them, I think those will come out, what, February 7th, maybe? 6th, 7th, something like that. And then the MLK, RFK files in March. Just to let you know. Will they show anything? I don't know. Pompeo seems to, you know, he's having a fit or had a fit. Let me ask you, Eric the Tech, do you think the remaining classified JFK files, specifically JFK, are they going to show us anything different than we already know? Or do you think it's going to be sanitized? What are your thoughts, my friend?
Sanitized.
There you go. I believe that as well. And members of the chat, people in chat, tell me, what do you think? Do you think they're going to be, do you think we're getting any nuggets from this, or do you think it's going to be anticlimactic? And yes, by the way, Book of Enoch completes the Book of Revelation. Indeed. We get nothing.
They've had a long time to piddle around on that thing.
Yes, they have. Heavily redacted. I think I don't know. We'll see. And then we're going to see how serious this is, in terms of how serious they are in telling us the truth. But here is John Ratcliffe in the 1 minute 46 second clip about Wuhan and the virus. This is cut 11 in the show notes.
Hold on. I might have grabbed the wrong video.
Okay. This is why we give you some lead time. And again, thank you, Chad, for all you do and for being a part of this and for being kind to others. Appreciate that as well.
And you, right out of the gate, come out with this new intelligence that the CIA has concluded the deadly COVID-19 pandemic arose likely from the leak out of a laboratory in Wuhan, as our audience expected. Tell me the significance of the CIA now confirming this, sir.
Well, it's one of the things President Trump and I talked about. Part of what we have to do is we have to restore Americans' trust in our own institutions, like the intelligence community and law enforcement, and that includes the CIA. And, you know, one of the things the president stressed, you know, the purpose of the CIA is to protect Americans, to keep us safe from foreign threats and foreign adversaries. But we also need to be truthful with Americans. And he has stressed to me and others that, you know, these aren't mutually exclusive missions. We can do both. And so in the case of the CIA, which is the best foreign intelligence service in the world, after 5 years to not have a public assessment, to be honest with the American people about where the likely source of a pandemic that killed millions around the world, including a million Americans, and really impacted all 345 million Americans in some way. People lost jobs, they lost houses, they lost their health, they lost their businesses, all of that. And so I had the opportunity on my first day to make public an assessment that actually took place in the Biden administration. So it can't be accused of being political, and it does assess. The CIA has assessed that the most likely cause of this pandemic that has wrought so much devastation around the world was because of a lab-related incident in Wuhan. And
so, to me, that speaks volumes. You might say, well, you know, it was kind of a dance around the subject, but I don't think so. I think the way this information is coming out, and again, folks, you might not agree, and if so, that's okay. I'm not sure I'm right. But I think step by step, to prepare the minds of the American people, how bad that we were lied to. I mean, how deep this lie is. Okay. Radcliffe basically confirmed what everyone else has known for 5 years. This virus was a bioweapon that came from Wuhan when they were conducting gain of function research that Fauci denied on bat viruses while searching for a SARS vaccine. And I've spoken to people like, including Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and all of the people involved in this who have said basically the same thing. And Dr. Ralph Baric, for example, to really understand how big this is, and I know Radcliffe knows this, and the CIA is part of this, and Baric was part of the CIA operation, as was Fauci, but Ralph Baric originally was doing the SARS research at the University of North Carolina when it was moved to the Wuhan lab based on the legal changes. All right, now SARS was considered the top global virus threat, which, by the way, is now being replaced by monkeypox. In case you haven't heard this, there's this big push now talking about, hey, monkeypox is coming. But before monkeypox gets here, we also recorded the first human, the first human-to-human transmission of the bird flu. All right. So make sure when you're eating your chicken wings, you're so afraid. I mean, fear is the really in this case. Now, I say that the blood of the innocent children is the currency of the globalists. But in this case, fear is the currency of the legacy media and the globalists as well. But when you're looking at the COVID virus, it was an attempt. What they were attempting to do was to aerosolize both the virus and perhaps a quote-unquote vaccine. But COVID is a combination of the virus and Baric's diffuse grant proposal. Now, there are a lot of grants that preceded, and I don't want to be boring about this, but there were a lot of grants that preceded the working on this specific virus. Okay. Diffuse was one, and you can look this up yourself and do the research. It was a grant proposal. Preempt grant proposal. And there's another name in here that people should know. Vincent Munster. That's right. You can't make this up. Kind of like from the Munsters. But Munster is from the Rocky Mountain Lab of the NIH. And his proposal was a winning proposal because he proposed a virus/vaccine that bats would spread through breathing and through aerosol contamination. So Barrick's virus vaccine, and remember Ralph Barrick, because he's got very bloody hands on this as well, in my opinion. His virus or vaccine was supposed to be sprayed on the bats by humans with spray guns. But then what Fauci did was create a new grant program called CREID, C-R-E-I-D, allowing Barrick and Munster to work together to create this Frankenvirus. The result was this virus with the spike protein that really Barrick was responsible for the spike protein part of it, that could spread by way of aerosolization. And that is Vincent Munster. In case you haven't heard these names before, well, this is rather new information with respect to Munster, not Barrick, and the concept of all this. So here's what I'm saying. This was a bioweapon that was created it was really created here in the U.S. using our taxpayer dollars by Fauci, by Barrick, and Munster, of course. And then you had overseas, you had Canada and then the U.K. also involved in this. And to some extent, the French were. You had biolabs in Ukraine as well, working on the weaponization of these viruses, which is why Putin went ape crap about all of this, and they got caught. Now, I believe, and I say this based on my research, but without any hard evidence, I believe this was deliberately, the virus itself was deliberately let out into the wild, that someone was poisoned by this virus, and the rest, of course, is history. I think we're going to find out more. What you saw with Ratcliffe, and the reason I wanted that played, was you're going to find out more as Ratcliffe settles in as the CIA director. So that's that. But watch the entire video, and that'll be cut 10 in the show notes, thehagmanpi.com, because Ratcliffe also talks about his changing of the agency and how he's going to take politics out of the agency, if that is possible. So we'll see if we can hold him to his, we'll see. We'll see if he, in fact, does what he says he's going to do. Before moving on, I want to show you something rather humorous. And I thought of Eric the Tech when I grabbed this video. Do you remember a number of years ago when there was this, I guess it was kind of like a promo for the IRS. When you see this, folks, you're going to remember this, perhaps chuckle, maybe shake your head, or both. But do you remember this video that came out about IRS agents being trained in the use of deadly force? I know Eric the Tech remembers this because we had a discussion about this a long time ago. This was a number of years ago. But this is what the IRS, and this, by the way, it was subsequently stopped by President Trump. And the IRS agents now, you might want to send these people to the border. But let me ask you in the chat, what do you think? Should we send these very highly trained, very well trained, armed IRS agents to the border? Do you think they're up for it? This is, and I'm sorry, Eric the Tech, this is cut 12, and it's just over 2 minutes long. But how many people remember this particular video? Here's cut 12. And You can volume that down. And to the Army friends to the military friends in the chat and elsewhere, you can pretty much identify the problems shown in this video. But again, how many people remember this? There you go. You got some really fit IRS agents. And I'm not disparaging their size or anything like that, but here we go. Now we're going into a potentially armed confrontation. You remember this, folks? Again, this was proudly shown by our government. Go ahead and sound up on that.
Put your hands up. Put your hands up.
Where's that hands up? Put your hands up and stop moving.
What are you looking for?
Do you have any weapons up, sir?
What are you looking for?
Look for Ashley Campbell. No, sir. Stay put. That is not Ashley Campbell.
That is not Ashley Campbell.
It's not.
Do you have any weapons?
I'm not saying nothing.
Sir, do you have any weapons on you?
I don't even know who you guys are. I'm not saying a thing.
Sir, I'm not saying IRS special agent. Do you have any weapons on you?
I'm not saying a thing.
All right.
You do what you got to do. I'm not saying a
thing. Turn around.
So I have to ask to the people in chat, did you enjoy that? And I'm being serious. How many? Let me check here. What are the comments in the chat about that? Do you remember that, folks? Do you remember this? Let me fight Tubby. Yeah. That's embarrassing. Oh, boy, all of them embarrassing. Rubber guns. Yep. Cringeworthy. I'm right there with you. Send them to Ukraine. Yeah. I can take on Large Marge. Comedy show. But Eric the Tech, do you remember us talking about this way back when?
Oh, yeah.
Now, if that was IRL in real life, oh, boy. Oh, boy. I mean, oh boy, the crossfire alone would probably kill. The friendly fire would be whatever, potential crossfire. And I can't go on with that except to say how embarrassing that would be. But those are some of the 87,000 of the IRS's best with weapons. And again, it's important to note that President Trump has since ceased that whole program. But that's the best we had at the time, to the extent where they showed this as a promo of the training, the high-class training. Oh, my. Oh, my. I had to show that just to kind of break the tension here. Not that there is any, but you know, let me take care of one more thing. This is not a video. This is a page. This is about President Trump's U.S. attorney. This is page one in the show notes. And you can put this up alongside of me if you'd like, Eric the Tech. If not, no worries. They're in place of me. Who cares? By the way, Eric the Tech, I sent you two sound bites. I don't know whether you can use them or not, but I did send you a couple of sound bites. But okay. But this is page one in the show notes. And this is from the Gateway Pundit. Now, Christina Leyla is just a tremendous, I like her a lot in terms of her quality of research. And I know that Julie Kelly got a hold of this as well, and they're working on this. But Trump U.S. Attorney Ed Martin initiates probe into Biden U.S. Attorney Matthew Graves, his unlawful use of Section 1512, paragraph C, subsection 2, obstruction charge to lock up J6ers. Now, this was perhaps one of the most hideous and heinous aspects. The Supreme Court ruled on the use of 1512 C2 and said, no, this does not apply to any of the J6ers. But that did not stop Biden. That did not stop this Matthew Graves, who is the worst of the worst of the worst. So, acting U.S. attorney right now for the District of Columbia, Ed Martin, initiated an inquiry into former U.S. attorney Matthew Graves' prosecutions of more than 1,500 J6 protesters. Now, his area of specialty, Ed Martin, is probing Graves' abuse of that 15C2 obstruction charge. Now, Graves, of course, resigned last month, but here's the thing. Along with Matthew Graves, President Trump fired a dozen plus federal prosecutors, specifically those at Maine Justice that were really behind the prosecution and persecution of President Trump. Why is this important? Well, it's got the left up in arms. If you haven't seen the blowback from this yet, you will in the next day or two, saying that President Trump is acting like a dictator by firing some of these federal prosecutors. But the fact of the matter is, Obama did much worse than this back when he took over in 2009. Now, per Julie Kelly, Ed Martin called the use of 1512 C2 a great failure and directed his staff to immediately deliver all files, all documents, notes, emails, and other information related to 1512C charging decisions to two other prosecutors who will prepare a preliminary report for Martin by this Friday. The reason this is important is not, I mean, this is stuff we already knew, but this is going to identify people behind the prosecution of President Trump. And it's important that we get to the bottom of this. Now, don't forget the 1512 C2 was used, it was developed for use against Enron. Now, regardless of what you think of Sidney Powell, okay, she wrote a great book about the prosecution of Enron and how really bad that was. I don't know, folks in the chat, have you read that book? Have you seen that book, License to Lie? Just an extraordinary book about Obama. And this is what we have to connect, in my view. We have to connect what Obama's template was in 2009 and moving forward, along with we have to connect that to, or see if there are any connections between that, the Obama's template, and the Biden DOJ, their template. And you're going to find some of the same people, some of the same templates involved in the prosecution and persecution of President Trump. And more importantly, yes, more importantly, the 1,500 plus J6ers. Now, Biden's corrupt Department of Justice charged more than 300 J6ers under that statute. But Jack Smith also used that in the DC case, where there was a conspiracy to obstruct per Jack Smith. I guess what I'm saying is, this was, despite the Supreme Court saying you can't do that, they did it anyway. And now it's coming out. And trust me when I say that of all of the possibilities that we can see that will identify people behind both the the prosecution of President Trump, as well as the J6ers, and this includes the judges, the federal prosecutors, and even some of the defense attorneys, they're going to be naming names on this. And this is what we have to keep our eyes on. And don't forget, it was June of last year when the Supreme Court delivered that blow to Biden's corrupt Justice Department, overturned that charge, yet some of the judges continued with it. The prosecutors continued with it against the rule of the Supreme Court, ruling of the Supreme Court. That was a 6-3 ruling that held that to prove such a violation of the law, the government has to show that the defendant impaired the ability or integrity for use in an official proceeding of records, documents, objects, or other things used in that official proceeding or attempted to do so, which did not exist in either President Trump's case or the J6ers case. Did that make sense on that? I hope so. But that's very, very, very important. This is kind of news that you're going to see toward the end of the week. And it's big news. It really is. All right. This is very interesting. This is only a 17-second video clip. This is a video 14. Pay very close attention. Now we're going to switch our attention to what happened in Los Angeles, and also what happened in Maui and perhaps other places we haven't determined yet. President Trump said something, and I think it was very deliberate. He said something last week about Los Angeles, about the fires in Los Angeles. And again, folks in the chat, tell me if I'm way off base on this. And if I am, okay. But I don't think I am. This is President Trump using certain words and a phrase that caught my attention, and I know caught other people's attention as well. 17 seconds long, but listen to what he says, specifically in this case about the LA fires. We might play it twice. Here's cut 14.
The biggest in the history of California. I think, has anything bigger than that happened in the whole country ever? It looks like, I don't want to say what it looks like, but you know what I'm going to say. It looks like something hit it. And we won't talk about what hit it, but it is a bad, bad situation. The biggest in the history of California. I think, has anything bigger than that happened in the whole country ever? I don't want to say what it looks like, but you know what I'm going to say. It looks like something hit it, and we won't talk about what hit it, but it is a bad, bad situation.
Steeler's mom, I believe you probably saw more stuff than I have. The research you do is incredible. Thank you for that. But something hit it, and we won't get into what hit it kind of. Why not? Kind of like the drones. Let's be real about the drones. We still haven't heard anything about the drones. We need to find out about the drones. We need to find out about these directed energy weapons. Did you find that rather fascinating? That moment of not just clarity, but of honesty? And why is he holding back on this? I'm just saying. Folks in the chat, thank you. Directed energy weapons. Star Wars program. Yes, absolutely. Megan made one. Your father worked on it. I suspect you're talking about that. Okay, so they've got a satellite video, right, of three fires starting at the same exact time in the triangular pattern. I didn't see that, but I will look for that. Thank you for putting that up. Lasers, BR7562. Okay, hope, faith, love, truth. Yes, liked that he actually said it. He said it, didn't really hold back. Well, he held back about, not going to say what hit it. I guess if he did, that would be somewhat problematic. I mean, that boy, I'll tell you what. But I think we're going to find out. One thing in chasing that story, I found extremely interesting. Man, there are some, I mean, there are some great people out there with some great information. I love it. Again, hats off to the creator of this video. This is cut 9 in the show notes, okay, at HagmanPI.com. You can find all of these listed once the program is up. 4 minutes of expert analysis from Robert Brame, suggesting that direct energy weapons or microwave technology was used for the LA fires. Now, I don't know, and this is, I'm being honest about the Robert Brame. I don't know his qualifications, but based on everything I've seen leading into this video, he's certainly qualified to discuss this based on research alone. Okay. But let's go to cut 9, 4 minutes about this very topic. Combine that with what President Trump said, and then you tell me what you think. Here is cut 9.
Twigs, the needles, the branches, even the trees will burn down, sometimes to a low stump or even a hole in the ground. Not like this one. This was the big Coffee Park fire in Santa Rosa, where 4,700 homes were turned to white ash. And look at the trees. Why aren't they missing along with the houses? Many of these are pine family relatives. Eucalyptus against that road there, or whatever that is, against the road. Those are eucalyptus back there, the round ones. Those are so flammable, a cigarette lighter in your hand can light those on fire. A green leaf, light them right on fire. The forest is primarily valley oak, blue oak, and California bay, which is a very combustible leaf. I can light them on fire again with a cigarette lighter. They didn't burn. There's a bay tree right there. The bottoms will always be burned right at ground level. No reason for that. Grass couldn't do that. A lot of flames to do that. No, they're being cooked right where they're at. This was an entire bay forest, and I couldn't find one leaf burned. And somehow the leaves turned black. You notice the bottoms of these little suckers here. They're black. Almost every tree here is a bay. They didn't burn, but the ground did. It's only a grass fire here. You can tell this was just grass, and it might have even been kept up. I don't see one burned tree. There's ponderosa pine, black oak, white oak. Well, there's a deodar cedar to the left there a little bit. That's pine family from the Himalayas. And a digger pine on the left, the big multi-branched one. Nothing wanted to burn that day, just the house. Ponderosa pine forest. Little short ones and everything. Where the flames are in the needles, they refuse to ignite. Here's your eucalyptus. It's down in the flames, refuse to burn. Upper foothill or lower pine belt here. Very flammable areas. And no, they're not burning. And look in the background. Chunks of metal everywhere. The two fire captains told me in their combined 60 years, they've never, ever seen a window melt out. Incidentally, every fire I've been to, all these 120 trips, not one window has been intact. Every single one has melted out. No exceptions. There's your aluminum. What's melting it this far away? Well, what's keeping it flowing? These things will flow 20 or 30 feet from a car when there's nothing on the ground to keep them melting. That's a high temperature, but they keep flowing right across the dirt. Here's a fence line. They all look like this. Burn at the nails, burn at the ground. The only place they burn is at the ground and wherever the metals were. What fire does that? A normal fire would burn the post from the bottom up, not skip spots. No, they favor the metals, of course. This is a tall post, perhaps 5 or 6 feet high. And way up high, eye level, just the nail area burned. Here's this board. What really burned? The nails on that board. This little guardrail is a park guardrail, and actually it's all wood. There's no metal here. The cross member, the long ones, and the post are all wood. And each one was burned like this, where the screws were. Many trees are cooking from the inside out. They're burned on the inside, and there's no hole to get a flame in there. This thing was about 4 feet in diameter in a spring, burned from the inside out, and not one leaf burned. When you look at the cuts, this is very important. These are 90% dead. They should not have that heartwood. The dark, dark area is the heartwood. It shows me these things were cooked from the inside out. And here's a soil bag. It has, still had soil in it. That was there. The tennis shoe was there. And you see the black. There's black everywhere. A cushion for your chair. I see this chainsaw in the back of this pickup truck. The window melted out at 2,500 degrees. All the tires burned completely, leaving the slinky-like steel belts. That plastic should be gone completely, down to the metals. Didn't happen.
There's so much white ash in some of these photos. It looks like the heat would have been really intense. However, it didn't reach very far.
Why is that? Why is everything reduced to white ash versus...
Well, I'm going to have to say it's because of the extreme heat. It's a different kind of flame. To me, these are microwave-based flames.
Okay, white ash. Boy, there's a lot in that 4 minutes. In a car fire, if the temperature of the fire gets above 2,550 degrees, glass will melt. Okay. Laminated glass, like, for example, a car windshield, usually, well, sometimes when it melts, it turns black based on the lamination. If there's glass with plastic, it can smoke, smell, release poisonous fumes. You don't have that in necessarily in vehicles. The white ash is a telling sign in these videos. Watch that, and again, my hat's off to the creator of that video. A lot of interesting pieces there that we can put together. But the fact of the matter is, you combine that with what President Trump said. And I was the one thing I'm not is an arson investigator. Okay, I've got a lot of respect for arson investigators, how they do their job. Because they look at burn patterns, for example, on the hood, which might point to, for example, a firewall. And that has to do with the venting of the fire and such. There are different principles involved. So, but what I'm saying here in this, when you look at the after effects, especially from the air with the white ash and the trees and the vehicles and the melting, you do have, and anyone who's, for example, sat next to a really hot fireplace, okay, believe me, it's hot. But in cases like this, you've got temperatures that would exceed, in order for the glass itself to melt, 2,552, to be exact, degrees Fahrenheit. So, having said that, there's a lot wrong with the fires that we saw, both in Lahaina as well as LA. And when you superimpose the A2028, folks in the chat, you can correct me, for the Olympics and for the smart cities, and you superimpose that plan over the burnt areas, you can almost create a prima facie case that this was done on purpose. Interesting. Eric the Tech, do you have anything to say on that? All right. What do you think?
Smart cities coming to a neighborhood near you.
And roundabouts. Communist. Roundabouts are communist. All right. I mentioned New York State very quickly here. I'm looking at the time very quickly. I mentioned New York State. Kathy Hochul, as governor, is intent. Folks, listen to me on this. You're going to hear more about this in the days to follow. She wants to have people put in mental facilities, establish mental facilities. No, I'm not talking about the whack jobs out there walking around that need mental health help. In a hospital that provides that help. I'm talking about psychiatric gulag, if you will. And this is page 2. This might be from the Daily Pundit as well. I'm not sure. You can put this up on the screen if you don't mind, Eric the Tech. This is page 2 in the show notes. I would be very aware. Yeah, this is from the Daily Gateway Pundit. I'd be very, very aware of what is being planned in New York State. And I do believe to a lesser extent in a couple of other states, including but not limited to New York. But Hochul believes that making involuntary commitment laws stronger in her state will make a difference in the increased number of random, violent, and deadly attacks in, for example, the New York subway system and on the streets. The question that must be answered is, this a problem of mental illness or a product of mental health intervention? And think about that question. Is it because of the drugs being given? Or is it the lack of the intervention on the mental health side? And this stems, this latest, at least in her case, this latest issue stems from the woman that was set on fire in the subway, and a couple of people pushed onto the tracks in front of an oncoming train. And in both cases, the alleged perpetrators were known to law enforcement. Okay, you had one on New Year's Eve, the 45-year-old man being pushed onto the tracks, and this was done by a 23-year-old mope. Well, Hochul's idea is to create these psychiatric gulags. And it's not for necessarily to get the people the treatment that they desire. This is more of a prison and an old fashioned, you know, if they could use shock therapy, they certainly would. But this is Hochul's answer. The reason I wanted this up right now is because watch this. This is going to become news. Other media platforms are going to be talking about this, because from what I understand is you've got this big push to incarcerate people as a result of drugs that were prescribed and have these side effects. I'm just saying, this is one way to just be on the lookout of this. And as I wrap up the show, this is something that I saw. Folks, you know about Barack Hussein Obama. You know about we had already mentioned this earlier about, well, looks like, you know, trouble in paradise between Michael and Barry. Don't tell me that Barry is looking at the women. Okay, that to me is just that ain't happening. Michael, on the other hand, that's a different story. But Candace Owens came out with something that I would like to bring back to your attention. If in the event you have not heard this before, you are now. But if you have heard it before, this serves as a great reminder. Well, when you look at, let's see, remember when President Trump said, okay, Colombia, you're going to take these people that we're sending back to your country. And the president of Colombia says, no, 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 no. And then President Trump said, okay, you don't want to do that? Then we're going to tariff the living crap out of you and do this, this, and this. And the guy folded like a cheap lawn chair. Biden was sitting in at the beach in about 20 minutes, right? But in Davos, the president of Colombia was seen, you know, walking hand in hand with a transvestite, or I'm sorry, a transgender, or whatever you call them, a woman with a dangling participle. Yeah, that's right. But what about Obama? What about his history? This is not just for the sake of, boy, what a, you know, how bad this is. No, this is showing a continuous course of perversity among the people in power, and especially on the Marxist left. And why, you might ask? Well, because it appears that perversity, they don't have a corner on it, but they certainly have a lot to do with it. This is Cut 13. Candace Owens, she's shocked to learn that Barack Hussein Obama, or at the time Barry Satoro, and yes, President Trump in his Truth Social tweet or posting, Soweto, mentioned the last name Soweto. That's another name of Obama. And in speaking with Susan Daniels, who has got just this tremendous amount of information about Barack Hussein Obama, and Jack Cashel, let me tell you something. There's a lot of smoke and a lot of fire in this that begins here. This is where it starts. And then from here, it goes forward. But this is Cut 13. It's about 4 minutes, and we're just going to make this under the wire. Here it is.
What, have I been under a rock? Barack Obama had a trans nanny growing up. Okay, so back in 2012, the Associated Press interviewed Evie. This is Evie, by the way, not dressed as a woman, but Evie, whatever. Let's just throw it to a clip and let you watch.
66-year-old Evie walks the streets of her Indonesian slum. She lives in a tiny room, subsisting on money she earns from washing clothes. Evie's meager existence belies a startling truth. She was once nanny to President Barack Obama. Evie says she's always been proud that the person she cared for, drove to school, and cooked for ended up being number one in the world. The future president was just 8 years old at the time. In the late 1960s, his mother, Ann Dunham, married her second husband and moved to Indonesia. Dunham was impressed by Evie's cooking ability and offered her a job. For 2 years, Evie lived with Obama and his family in this Jakarta home. But she thinks the young Obama didn't know one fundamental truth about her. Born a man, Evie identifies as a woman. Evie says Ann Dunham might have known she was transgendered, but she never dressed as a woman in front of young Barry. And it was a time of brutal dictatorship when soldiers would beat and round up so-called banshees. Evie says soldiers once shaved off her long black hair and burned her with lit cigarettes. Even today, transgendered people have a difficult time in this largely Muslim nation of 240 million people. This representative of an influential Islamic group says transgendered people are wrong, and they deny the teachings of Islam. And so, Evie has struggled through life, saying she's never found suitable work since Obama and his family left the country in the early 1970s. But she says Obama's election gave her a reason to feel proud for the first time in a long time.
Okay, so elsewhere in the AP's investigation, Evie said this. This is, again, directly from the AP article. He was so young, that's referring to Barry Satoro, and I never let him see me wearing women's clothes, but he did see me trying on his mother's lipstick sometimes. That used to really crack him up. Then, elsewhere in the piece, they confirm that neighbors of Barry Satoro and Dunham dispute Evie's claims and say that Evie wasn't just wearing lipstick, but did in fact leave the house wearing female clothes. Here is a photo of Evie, by the way, fully dressed up. I I'm speechless, I think. What the hell is going on? What the hell is going on? You know, Evie apparently was very much accepted as a transgender individual by Stanley Dunham, Barack Obama's mother, so much so that she allowed Evie to wear her lipstick, allowed Evie to be around her child wearing her lipstick. And if the neighbors are telling the truth, which I feel like they are, Evie was dressed as a woman around a young Barry Satoru. Okay, so why am I bringing this up? Well, first and foremost, because it's insane. Secondly, because it's a little too much synergy, as I said at the top of the show, between the mysterious upbringing of Emmanuel Macron, okay, and Barack Obama. Just like, for whatever reason, they are entered into these Catholic schools when they're really young, and they have this extraordinarily close relationships with their grandparents, like Emmanuel Macron, the exact same thing. This sort of introduction to transgenderism at an incredibly young age, the entire mainstream media sort of colluding to cover their tracks. What the hell is going on? What's going on? I'm going to ask you guys, seriously, what is going on? Because it's starting to look to me like a program, like a global government program, which potentially is breeding world leaders.
Okay, stop it right there. And folks, you can continue watching that as well as watching the entirety of her program. But she hit the nail on the head. This is a government program of grooming leaders. When I say government, I'm not talking about just the U.S. I'm talking about a massive multinational program. And I found some documents from World War II from the Nazis where this was one of the programs initiated by the Nazis. Okay, don't forget, we brought over numerous scientists from the Nazi program. This is something that these people were created. They didn't develop normally. They were created. And they were created for a very specific purpose. And that purpose is now. I believe this. Based on the research I've done, and when you look at Macron, who I failed to mention initially, and you look at the others, especially those attendees at Davos, and overlap them, well, kind of like a Venn diagram with the Bohemian Grove and Davos and other events. Across the planet, you start to see a pattern developing. And I believe these places like Davos, they exist to fine tune, if that's the right way of saying this, the leadership to fine tune the people to take over and continuing to take over the world. And this involves Bill Gates as well. And again, in my view, when you look at Gates and you look at his upbringing and you look at his wife and you look at all of that, the divorce and so on, this involves pretty much all of many of the world leaders, minus, we'll say, President Trump, Orban, and others. But you can see some similarities develop here. And I hope that made sense. In the scheme of things, that might seem like an outlier to throw into today's program. But I don't believe it is. I believe that all of this, as we see 2025 unravel, and it will, the truth, I believe a lot of the truth will come out. Will it all come out? No. But much of it will come out. So I think we have to keep our eyes on things like the rumors. Now, we don't have to necessarily spread nor accept the rumors of the divorce between Obama and Big Mike, nor any of these. But when you have enough of these bits of information,